Vancouver's Devourers from their new album Sweet Homecoming. No, I don't have the name for it. Anyway, that was 37. The song there was 37 Up, The Longing, from a brand new album from Vancouver's Devourers.
This is Bird Note. Brooklyn, New York City's southeastern borough, has prime spots to see birds. Prospect Park, with more than 500 acres, many of them covered in trees, fosters lots of native bird life. One denizen of Brooklyn's trees is the strikingly beautiful blue jay. Nearly a foot long, the jay is unmistakable, with vivid sky blue crest and back, fine dark cross-hatching on blue wings and tail, and a black necklace. It's a familiar sight in Brooklyn's trees. Blue jays are consummate tree dwellers. They nest, forage, and roost in the trees, even in this New York borough of over 2 million people. They travel through Brooklyn neighborhoods from branch to branch. And if you live in the eastern U.S., you can invite blue jays into even a small yard with a decent tree or two. This doesn't require a lot of square footage on the ground. It's the volume of branches and leafy habitat overhead that matter to the jays. Blue jays are especially fond of oak trees, which provide acorns and habitat for large insects, two of their favorite foods. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
I'm ready to go.
You're hiking in that?
Of course. It's such a beautiful day, and I didn't want too many layers because I would only have to carry them.
You do realize these are mountains, right? It can go from sun to snow, and the paths are pretty rough and rocky. Maybe too much for flip-flops.
I'm pretty sure I'm prepared. I saw a picture of the hike on Instagram.
Everyone wants to enjoy the outdoors. Just remember the three T's: trip plan, train, and take the essentials. Being unprepared could lead you to a situation where you need help, like from the North Shore Rescue, a community-based search and rescue team that provides life-saving services. For tips on how to prepare for a hike, book an info session, or to donate, visit their website at www.northshorerescue.com. That's www.northshorerescue.com.
All right, now we have time for our documentary presentation for today. This is a documentary produced by CJSF, and it's on the topic of generosity. An interesting idea, which has a lot of different forms, and that's what our presenter examines today. This is from the Making Time for Radio series, and I hope you enjoy this.
I Have Nothing to Give, I Have Everything to Give, a documentary by Ula Laidlaw. Okay, so it's Sunday, October the 4th, and it's 3:40 p.m., and I haven't done anything generous yet for anyone. I guess I just texted my friend to see how she's doing, because she went through a breakup recently. I don't know if that's generous or just friendship. I also avoided a phone call because I felt I didn't have time for it. Not super generous.
Okay. So, do you consider yourself to be a generous person?
No.
Here we are in the cafe, and I'm with Chantal.
But I would not consider myself to not be generous.
I certainly have the capacity for it, sure.
In some ways, yes. And in some ways, no.
Am I exercising that capacity?
If I was to define generous as giving to the limits of what I can give, then I would say yes.
Those are my friends, Christian, Sasha, Chantel, and Carmen. I'm making a radio documentary on generosity, and they generously agreed to talk with me on the topic. I'm at my friend Jay's place, and I'm knocking on his door.
Hey, I'm at your place. Okay.
Jay's agreed to let me follow him on a one-week generosity challenge. The challenge is about assessing how much he gives, identifying what's hard for him to give, and asking him to give it anyway. I want to know if our usual limits of generosity are based in truth, or if we actually have much more to give than we think we have. And I want to see what happens if we push these limits.
That's Hello. Great.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm hungry.
Okay.
Are you hungry?
Sure.
Yeah. You don't have to eat.
Let's eat.
I'm going to have the fries.
Just fries.
Okay. Yeah.
To go?
Yeah?
Yeah, we can go to the park.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great.
And a name for them?
Jay.
Jay. And just, is this together or separate?
Separate.
That was great. I just caught on tape my participant overlooking an opportunity to be generous. And at that moment, I thought to myself, this is perfect. A perfect beginning to seeing him push his own generosity limits throughout this next week. But in the park, it didn't take long for him to turn the tables on me and reveal my own trouble with my own generosity practices. Speaking about the tasks I'd set up for him to do, he suggested...
Well, you have to do them yourself, too.
Not this week.
Why not?
Eventually, I dared to realize what was being revealed in this conversation.
So, is this just my journey? Oh, God, it's so embarrassing. I feel like you have all the answers, and I don't
have all the answers. I don't know what you're talking about.
I want to be connected in that way to the world. And I feel like I'm not. I feel like I intentionally disconnect myself because of fear of giving, that I won't be okay if I give. But then the truth is, if I feel like that if I get over that fear, then I don't know, I could be tapped in a bigger way. Maybe life is a whole different story that I'm not part of yet.
So it was decided. It needed to be me. It was me who sensed I was holding back of what I could give. Don't get me wrong, I think there are ways in which I am generous. But there's other areas that I really stop myself in, that I just feel like I can't give. And I didn't know if that feeling that I was basing my inaction on was true or not. So it was time to explore it. We wrapped up our conversation.
I'm eating all your fries.
No, please, help yourself.
Yeah.
You're
so generous.
Thank you.
But I wasn't willing to go down without a fight. This is my friend Christian.
So would you be willing, for the purpose of this documentary, to give something that you normally would stop yourself from giving?
No. I'm not giving anything to anyone. I'm not giving anything to anyone. Then fuck off.
Very well. Thank you for your time.
What was the question? What was I supposed to give?
For the purpose of the documentary. Looking for is
someone who will give.
Someone
sorry?
Who will give what they don't have, or what they would normally stop themselves from giving.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's my next question: is what do you feel you don't have to give?
Oh, and then ask someone to give it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice, but he didn't jump on board. So yeah, it had to be me. I signed myself up for giving what I didn't want to give, what I didn't have. Or didn't feel I had. Okay, so I got a text from Domenico asking me if I could come next Wednesday to help him on the shoot. And I was like, okay, this is something I don't want to do. because I feel like I don't have work and I don't have time and... It's another thing to do, but anyways, I just texted him back and I said, yes, of course. I guess we'll see what happens, if I'll end up, I don't know, broke or something, more broke.
That's my next question. What do you give?
to people?
What comes easy for you to give?
I want to believe that I give space when people need it. Oh, that must be true. I want to cry. That's usually a pretty good indicator of truth.
What are the realms of generosity that you don't like to give?
Generosity of spirit, I guess, is what I'm wrestling with at the moment, and that's about being dismissive of people. Am I able to be generous if I didn't decide I wanted to be? If I've consciously gone, yes, I am going to give this person my time today, and I'm happy to do that because I decided that. If I haven't made that decision and someone's... I find that challenging, yeah, that it has to be done with my permission and that it has to be conscious.
This is Domenico on the phone. He's giving me the details of the shoot that I'm going to help him on tomorrow.
Okay, and what time tomorrow?
7:20, safely, like 2 blocks from your house.
7:20. Okay, great.
You can sleep in the car.
Are your perceptions of what you have always accurate?
No. It's like going through your closet when you're moving and finding all these things you didn't know you had there.
Do you think that you have more to give than you actually give in your life?
Yes.
What would you be giving if you allowed yourself to give what you feel you have to give?
There's a whole lot of money, time, passion, physical, points of view, opinions, everything.
Sasha's response really resonated with me. Yeah.
I almost feel like it's like self-preservation. It feels like it's false, maybe false, but it feels like self-preservation. Like, well, it feels very primal.
This was me for sure. I just wasn't sure if in my case it was real or perceived, or as she puts it, false. But I was really hoping it was just perceived.
Okay. It's 7:20. Up with the crows. And off to meet Domenico. So, what can I do?
How many C-stand head do you have? You have two. If you could give me one more head, that would help.
One more of those?
Yeah. Is it attached to
there? Oh, okay. Check. It is 9:52 a.m. I'm guarding the gear here in Port Coquitlam, and it's really cold. Everyone else is shooting inside.
I needed my community's opinion on if what I was trying to do was possible. Is it possible to be generous when we feel like we can't, and how do we do it? I went back to Carmen, who'd shared that it had been hard for her to give attention when she'd been interrupted from her own work.
Do you think it's possible in those moments to, like, switch and become authentically generous, even though it's hard?
It is possible. It's certainly possible. Yeah. It's a space of removing assumptions about the person, about what's happening, about why I'm doing it, and how I expect to feel. It's that space of presence and openness and compassion for that person in that moment. It should all work out for everyone.
And do you think how do you think you would feel if you were to achieve that? Like, how do you think that?
Awesome, all the time.
I want to be able to experience that level that Carmen suggested. And things were looking pretty good on set in Port Coquitlam, where I was experiencing some highlights of the day, including a stranger coming by and offering me a plant-based granola bar. Been waiting here forever. Yeah, random act of generosity came at me. He saw me waiting from his office window for all these hours and came down to chat. Yay! But the whole truth is, it wasn't an easy day. The truth is, I didn't have a great day. I felt anxious. I felt like it was really generous of me. It was a long day, and I didn't really feel like I was that much help. I felt like it was too much to give, and I left the day feeling really stressed about my own things. My own concerns. I felt discouraged that maybe I actually didn't have it to give. I really wasn't experiencing what Carmen had proposed was possible, and that I believed was possible. Maybe I actually didn't have it to give. I felt ready to give up, but then this conversation happened.
Sometimes I will give when I want to say no, and then just go take better care of myself. Okay,
how does
yeah.
that make you feel when you were like, oh, now I can give this thing that I didn't used to be able to give? How does it make you feel now to be able to give that? And why did you decide to teach yourself to give up?
Because sometimes it's what people need.
Maybe it didn't matter at all what I felt during the day with Domenico.
Those moments of saying yes. It's like when you hear a call, or when I hear a call, and I'm able and wanting to say yes, even if there's a little bit of uncomfortability, it feels really good. It's really rewarding. Yeah.
Strangely, after a few days, I noticed that I felt connected to Domenico's project. I wanted to know what was happening with it, and like Sasha described, I started to feel really good about what I'd done. And beyond that, more remarkably to me, I started to realize that I did have it to give. Because I gave it. I must have had it.
Sometimes wanting to say no is doesn't have to do with them asking you outside of your means. Sometimes it has to do with yourself. And, I mean, we put up protective blockages all the time, and sometimes us saying no is hoarding. And sometimes we don't need to hoard anymore. Like, there's that whole difficulty of you put up these blockages and eventually they don't need to be there anymore. And what those blockages do is they make us think we've reached our capacity. And you have to learn yourself well enough or be constantly in check with yourself to figure out if that blockage is a wall you don't need there anymore.
Thank you for sharing.
I'm so grateful to my community, to Jay, Christiane, Sasha, Carmen, and Chantel for sharing their own discoveries, their wisdom, and their practices with me, and to Domenico for the opportunity. And I'm grateful for the support and assistance of CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, British Columbia, and the Community Radio Fund of Canada for the production of this piece. Thanks for listening. I'm Ula Laidlaw, and this piece was sound edited by Joshua Hemming.
Thanks to Ula for that interesting documentary. You're listening to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM. And we're just about out of time for the show today, but we're going to play some music for you. This is from a band called Black Belt Eagle Scout, and the track here is My Blood Runs Through This Land.
I'm
black belt, Eagle Scout, and my blood runs through this land. That's from the album The Land, The Water, The Sky, released earlier this year, and out now on all your favorite platforms. We have just a few minutes left in the show. Don't forget, coming up in just at the top of the hour is Democracy Now! And just after that will be Wandering Rhythms. First, though, Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Leisowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Kids today will face a future with more severe droughts, stronger storms, and rising sea levels. Yet many schools are not preparing students for the climate of tomorrow.
Of course, there are exceptions, but overall, we're just not doing enough.
Judy Brouse is the executive director of the North American Association for Environmental Education. Her group recently surveyed hundreds of teachers and school administrators across the country. The survey showed that most teachers want to cover climate topics, but many feel unprepared to do so, and they worry about resistance from some parents.
They don't feel confident or informed, and that makes it really hard for them to be able to integrate climate change into what they're doing.
So she says it's important for administrators to make climate change part of the formal curriculum and to provide teachers with training and resources. She says museums, science centers, universities, and other community institutions can often help. And she says parents can play a critical role by advocating for climate education.
Teachers are truly the backbone of our society, and they need more support from administrators, from parents and the community, as well as through policies that support this important work.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To hear more stories like this, visit climateconnections.org.
And that's it for our program today. You've been listening to Speak Up. My name is Magnus Tiewald. Speak Up will be back again tomorrow. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. And stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up in just a few minutes.
Radio Alicia is the only radio show with Spanish subtitles. We broadcast in Technicolor every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Radio Malicia.
Radio Malicia.
Radio Malicia.
Radio Malicia.
Radio Malicia.
Radio Malicia. Radio Malicia.
We program happy rhythms, predominantly in Spanish, but with tons of Canadian and female content. We also feature phone interviews with local and international artists.
Radio Alicia.
Every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM.